Underneath the slide. Oh, okay. So my name is Kenny Newton. You probably saw me on day one if you went through the What's New for Office and the intro to building apps and for part one and part two. You saw me all three of those sessions. If you went to Club SBC and you was wondering who that DJ was, that was me as well. So I have, like, I consider my multiple facets to my personality. Some consider it a sickness. I consider it a gift. I've worked for Microsoft. I'm in charge of the developer audience for SharePoint and Office. And I've been with Microsoft for about 6 years now. And prior to that, as I said, I was working for various consulting firms doing SI type work and different enterprise organizations. With that, Mr. Bogue.
So I'm Rob Bogue. I'm also known as the SharePoint Shepherd. That is not a big and tall cane. That is a shepherd's crook that I carry with me. People ask me if I get tired of carrying it. I don't, because I get to lean on it as I'm talking to you. So come up and talk to me if you see it. Been in the Microsoft MVP program for 9 years, been a partner forever, and have had the pleasure of working with the product since 2000. Well, it's more of a pleasure now than it was in 2000. Written a few books and got some DVDs and stuff, and so come up and say hi afterwards, and I might give you something. So, hey, what are we going to talk about today, Kenan?
You know, we're going to talk about TypeScript, and we're going to talk about using TypeScript with apps for Office and SharePoint. If you've got a chance to play with it, it was very cool, but what wasn't done and what happened was when I found out about TypeScript, which was about, I think it was released about a month ago, was early October,
yep.
October 5th, I immediately ran, like sprinted, to about three buildings over at Microsoft campus, went to the Visual Studio tooling team saying, can we do this with Office, by apps for Office and apps for SharePoint? Is this possible? And I understood, like, the TypeScript compiler would actually go ahead and just take that TypeScript file and generate JavaScript. I was like, wow, can I actually treat JavaScript as an intermediate language, kind of like how .NET has its intermediate language, and not have to think about JavaScript anymore and actually start using a strongly typed language that actually makes sense? That would be epic for doing web development. And I figured all of you, obviously, would probably think the same thing. That's why you're here today. So I ran over to the building. They were like, yeah, we should totally be able to do it. So we started playing around with the Visual Studio project file and saying, hey, how can we include the compiler? Saw a few, got some code snippets from some other folks from another building and put it all together. And sure enough, we were able to do it for apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. And that's why we have this session here today. We're going to take a look at how we can leverage it. Some solutions are a little bit easier to leverage than others, such as if you're building a app for, if you're building a provider or auto-hosted app. Obviously, you already have a web project that's separated. It's pretty easy to use TypeScript. But if you're building a SharePoint-hosted app, they didn't get it in time to build the TypeScript compiler tooling in there. So we're going to show you how you can tweak that project file so it can include the TypeScript compiler and generate that TypeScript code for you. Over time, we'll have an update that will make it just happen for you automatically, but now you can consider yourself ahead of the curve.
And look at it this way. How many times do you get to actually edit the CS proj files? I mean, come on. That you should think that that's a benefit.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, I edit them all the time to do different things because, I mean, granted, it's great to do all the box things, but there's nothing wrong with editing the files. They're XML for a reason, and they're supposed to be edited to do certain custom things. So if you have things going on in your organization, like build practices, certain build processes, yeah, you edit your proj files for sure.
Cool. So should we show them TypeScript?
We should talk a little bit about TypeScript. We should talk about the pains that we have struggled through with JavaScript, and we should I think then we should show them like a little bit of TypeScript.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Yeah, I like the plan. Yeah, I like
All
it
right,
too.
Let's go.
All right.
Clicker,
please.
Ooh, there we go.
Woohoo! So JavaScript, the good and the bad. So
the bad outweigh the good.
The good is obviously it's supported between multiple different types of browsers that are out there. There's a lot of support in the community out there. You know, you got Knockout.js, you got jQuery, you got jQuery UI, all these great libraries that we use every day to go ahead and make web development as easy as it possibly can be with the tools that we have, which is JavaScript. Honestly, we probably wouldn't have as much frameworks if JavaScript was just a little bit cleaner. Well, if
good.
It was better.
Better. Okay.
Better.
Better.
I'm good with better.
Not
so
best.
The bad. It really comes down to is kind of productivity. Now, I will admit, if you tried Visual Studio 2012, the debugging experience is probably the biggest thing with JavaScript. It's a lot better in 2012 than what it has been. Visual Studio Tooling has done a lot of great work on simplifying that. And because we're building apps for Office and SharePoint, we get to leverage that just out of the box. That kind of comes for free. But, you know, things that are missing, like, compile time. Now, we do have some IntelliSense going on in Visual Studio now, but if you're using other IEDs, you might not get IntelliSense. Or if you don't have the reference to the actual library itself, you're not going to get any IntelliSense to love there. You can't just look at the JavaScript file and try to figure out what's going on there. You have to deal with, debugging is probably one of the most painful things that we have to typically deal with when it comes to writing. And most importantly, it's not clear. It's just, when you're using JavaScript, the language itself isn't really object oriented. It's really kind of hard to kind of understand the code. You usually have this whole big mass of stuff. When in reality, you would have loved to use inheritance and other things in a more efficient way to actually simplify the amount of code you write. But you really can't do that with JavaScript. So then why TypeScript? Why is TypeScript important? Well, we want to make sure that applications can scale well, right? So if you want to take a look at, we have these massive, web.20-like applications where we have a web browser and there's all this JavaScript going on behind the scenes. You know, one of the first large-scale apps that were out there, even before Facebook, was the Outlook web app. Was probably one of the first major JavaScript type applications that are out there. And then Facebook, obviously, just because of consumerization, made this whole style of a web.20, like instant type of client-side rendering and that sort of thing, popular through, because consumers were using it. And now that's what's our goal that we do with everything. So it's all about REST now. It's all about JSON. It's all about JavaScript and making sure that we have very fluid UIs, and we're not necessarily doing page refreshes like we used to do in the past.
So can I ask him a couple of questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I see out here, how many of you have ever spent, let's just go with a day, looking for that JavaScript variable that you accidentally capitalized and shouldn't have? Uh-huh. How many of you spent a week?
Or a month.
Oh, come on. Yeah, right? What if I could tell you, the promise of TypeScript, the thing that we're trying to do, the promise of TypeScript is you won't have to do that anymore, right? The compiler will check that for you. It'll say, hey, there is no foo on this object bar. What are you doing?
And it'll tell you what line.
Yeah, and you can double click it.
Yes, so. And you're right there. Another key benefit is code structures. So again, we like classes. You can think of modules back in the VB day of having modules. If you're more of a .NET programmer, it's kind of synonymous with a namespace. So you can nicely structure your classes and how you call and reference your different classes and your code itself, so it's all nice and neat. And most importantly, because JavaScript is still, used across multiple different types of browsers, it interprets itself, it compiles itself into JavaScript for you. So now you actually get to treat JavaScript basically like an intermediate language, and you don't have to. You'll still write some things that will be JavaScript related, but for the most part, you shouldn't have to mess with it anymore. The key thing to know about TypeScript is it is just a superscript of JavaScript. A superset of JavaScript. So it doesn't replace it. It's not like a totally separate language. It does use bits of JavaScript within TypeScript itself, and so it still requires that. So real briefly, let's kind of. I just kind of wanted to do this a simple window side by side, and then I'm going to go ahead and show the code in just a few seconds here.
So, So as we said, TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript, and so this is literally a screenshot from TypeScriptLang.org. So TypeScriptLang.org. You go to that website, and you'll have an interactive experience where you can write TypeScript or try to write TypeScript, as I do, and have it show you what it's going to do for JavaScript.
Yep. And actually, if you have your laptops out with you, and knowing that the Wi-Fi actually works, I invite you to actually do this with me as we go through. Hey, it's still up. It's still working.
The demo gods.
We're going to do this together.
Okay.
So yeah, we're going to try. I mean, the worst that can happen, the network doesn't work, and you just see me do it. But let's go to typescriptlang.org. And I'm going to go ahead and flip over my machine to my machine here. And you can see that, is everybody getting there? So good, the Wi-Fi is good? Awesome. So you should land on this first page here that basically has the TypeScript preview and says kind of get started now and has that little background image. You can go right to play at the tab there. And you can see it has some walkthroughs. That screenshot you just saw, well, there's the screenshot for you right there. So if I wanted to go ahead and say, well, I want to create like a new greeting, or if I want to go ahead and create something new, what I can just simply go ahead and do is, obviously I have a method here called greet, and let's say I want to create a new one here called goodbye. I can create that one called goodbye, and as I'm typing, you'll notice on the right-hand side automatically the code's actually generating itself in JavaScript for me. So I can just simply go and say return. We'll just say goodbye. And we'll go ahead and close that. And here on the button click after the alert of a greeter.greet, we'll go ahead and do another one underneath it. And we'll call it alert greeter. And you can see the IntelliSense is already popping up here. So I'll say goodbye. And that should be it. Now I can go over here to the top right where it says JavaScript and click run. I should be able to run thing. I'll open up a page. I'll say hello. There's my hello world. And then my next one called goodbye. So I can actually start playing and learning the language without needing Visual Studio, and without needing full-fledged IDE, because we have basically an IDE that's right here in the web browser, for you to use. So you can start playing with the language. But let's say that, I mean, if you want to actually get the bits themselves, you can actually go ahead and where it says get it, click get it and download it. It'll actually install a Visual Studio little package there for you, so you can actually start creating TypeScript JavaScript libraries out of the box. So if you look at the walkthroughs on the left-hand side, we kind of show you the different things, that different concepts here. So first, kind of look at the different types. If you took a look right here at the top top left, and let me just zoom in a little bit right there. So you can see it's actually strongly typed, the language itself. So when you say something is going to be a string, it's going to be a string. And it's definitely going to be a string. So you can do like typed things that we know and love, like with C# and the .NET framework, that just makes things more consistent and make things more structured while we're doing development itself. But some other cool things. Hello? Yep, my mic keeps going in and out. Some other cool things that also occurs is we also have modules. So the modules, again, is kind of like a namespace. So I have saints.greeter here, right here. I can also have, if I go down here when I actually call it, I'm just going to say new saints greeter. So again, it's kind of a way to make things so I can actually structure them. So it's actually when someone's consuming my code, it's very easy for them to discover what's there and be able to instantiate it very easily without having to remember a bunch of different names. They can just say, oh, I know it's somewhere in the Sayings module, and it's like greet or goodbye or whatever it may be. The other cool thing is that I really am a big fan of, you can actually do inheritance with this. So I have a class here called Animal, and with Animal I have a class underneath it called Snake and Horse. And let's go ahead and create a new class right below it. And you know, as I'm typing to the right-hand side, as soon as I get the class structure here, it'll go ahead and start actually updating the code on the right-hand side, which is probably down here below. It's right here. So it's actually writing the code as I'm starting to extend it itself. And if I, as I'm making mistakes, like right here, automatically I can see right here that there's something expected. It's making structure same. So it's actually looking at IntelliSense and kind of giving me some compile time feedback as I'm writing it out for myself. So again, typescript.lang.org, great place to start playing with TypeScript. And you can also go ahead and download the Visual Studio little plugin, so you can it adds like the TypeScript file to your Visual Studio project. And with that, let's go ahead and jump back to our deck. Just went through that demo. And Mr. Bogue, so I believe the floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Awesome. Very good. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick look at a video commenter application. And so ultimately, what we're going to do is we're going to take this, and we're going to take this application, and we're going to put it into SharePoint and make the data that it's getting accessible in Office. So I want to show you what the app does. It's a simple video player, and it's keeping track of comment, or it's keeping track of position here. And then when it's fully working, I'll be able to do something like hello, and it'll record that comment into a list, so I've got comments on videos, right? So I want to get people's feedback. So this is what I'm doing. Let me show you back in the code here. And the thing that we want to do here first is I want to show you the default page. And so this is our default page, and it's super, super simple, right? I'm building this app as my starting point, my framework, my prototype for what we're going to do in Office. And is that? Zoom it. And I don't think I have zoom it on this machine, which is where I was going at the moment. Yeah. Increase the font size, I don't remember. Yeah, we can do that. Which is tools.
Tools options.
Oops. Not customize. Bottom left. Hey, there you go. Let's do that way. That'll be way easier, huh? How's that? Sorry about that, guys. So what we have here is a simple HTML page, right? I'm referencing jQuery. You'll notice I have a video commenter JS. That's because all TypeScript is going to compile down into JavaScript. So I'm going to reference the JavaScript. And then I have a video tag, right? So this is an HTML5 video tag. And then it's got a couple of input tags, right? So this is what you saw just a second ago. This all makes sense. This should be stuff that you've seen before. All right, so now, for the video commenter class, I want to start down here, and I'm going to just do 200, because I got a lot of code I want to show you. So I'm going to the Windows on load event, and what I'm doing is I'm getting a set of elements, and then I'm newing a class. Well, there's a couple of things about this code that you see, and you go, this doesn't look like regular JavaScript exactly. The lambda expression here, but this is a typecast where we're telling TypeScript, when you get this response out of document get by element ID, it's going to be an HTML video element. So you can put that in a video element tag. Okay? And so then I've got a button one down here. And then, like I say, I'm newing this class up and providing it all its parameters. So let's take a look at how that class gets defined. So in this class, you'll see that I've got my constructor. So this is very typical of the way that you would expect to do things in a type language. You're building an actual constructor. We go through, I set the video URL. I register a couple of events. I add a click listener for that's my add comment that I did. And I have the big, long nastiness of JavaScript. Now, one of the things about this is that I'm really doing a lot of JavaScript coding, right? Most of this looks like JavaScript because it is. The stuff that doesn't look like JavaScript is where I'm getting types, and I'm getting type support. So set video URL, you know, that looks pretty much exactly like the kind of JavaScript you'd expect to see, right? And I'm just doing regular JavaScript junk, right? And if you've ever tried to zero pad a number, in JavaScript, you'll see the 100 lines or so of code that it takes to do that. So this is a TypeScript application that turns back into JavaScript. If I look at the JavaScript file, if I open the .js file, which, by the way, Visual Studio nicely nested for us, It is regular old JavaScript with nothing special in it. And you'll see the self-enclosing function and all of that. Okay? So this is what we're going to try to do is take this video commenting application and we're going to plug that into SharePoint so that SharePoint becomes the back-end data store for this video commenter application. So Keenan, how do we develop off apps for SharePoint? We should probably review that.
So yeah, we're going to take a quick review on just kind of talk a little bit about the app model and talk a little about building apps for SharePoint and apps for office, just in case you didn't have a primer, but I'll go ahead and get through these relatively quickly. So developing apps for SharePoint, there are two basic options that we have out there. We have full trust solutions for building apps, and we have, building solutions, and we have apps. And this new app model is pretty much what the main focus of this whole week is because it's a big, huge change. You know, we've all been building full trust solutions and having a conference just on a bunch of new APIs would, well, not necessarily be fun, but a lot of the major investments we have been doing over the last 3 years has been into this new app model, and it's where we're going to continue to be making our investments going forward. You'll notice that you don't see Sandbox on there because when it comes to new solutions, we don't suggest using Sandbox solutions as the primary way to go. If you're going to be doing some of that Sandbox, it just probably makes more sense to use to create an app. So with the two options that you have for built with apps, is you can build apps that run with on SharePoint itself, and that's a SharePoint hosted app. And what that is basically it's an HTML JavaScript file that's residing within SharePoint itself. There is no server-side code, so all the interaction between the app itself, which is in the running in the browser, is all via the client-side object model or via REST APIs into SharePoint. It is the easiest way to go ahead and create apps as opposed to provider and auto-hosted apps, because then you have to, with provider and auto-hosted, you have to deal with OAuth authentication and like cross-site scripting and things of that nature. So the off SharePoint is the provider auto-hosted as well. This is where you're going to have more robust applications, because SharePoint hosted apps are probably really better for more simple type of applications, but a lot of apps that we write really probably involve other things, like other services that are out there, such maybe you're getting flight status data, or you could be getting information from Twitter, or maybe you're getting information from a line of business solution that you have that you may have purchased or used internally within your organization. But that the provider and auto-host apps are definitely the way to go, and for the more complex solutions. Provider host basically allows you to say, hey, I'm worrying about how I'm providing the actual hosting the web itself. It is your responsibility to figure out where it's going to reside and how you're going to deploy that. Auto-hosted basically packages up the website itself and any SQL that you may have, like a SQL database, that app will be deployed automatically for you by Office 365. We will eventually be being able to do that on-prem, but it's not out yet, but we are looking at doing that sometime in the future. So a couple things that you may notice, key things that we have involved here is cross-site scripting. We want to make sure that your apps can't necessarily be hacked, or that you can't write apps that can actually hack the SharePoint interface. So what we've done is we made sure that we won't allow client-side scripting, so that way you can't third-party site can't basically hack your SharePoint instance or your app itself. And we do this with setting up wildcard DNS. That way, when everything, your app and everything kind of goes back to SharePoint, I mean, you always see like SharePoint.com, but like before it, like the subdomain before it will always be different. So when you deploy an app, you'll see something like the name of your app, dash, and then a GUID. And that's just there to make ensure that your browser sees that, oh, this is a separate domain, and I can't necessarily go ahead and push script to something else that's within the actual SharePoint site itself. Again, it's just a protective layer. And it also kind of helps define app web isolation. So this way, you know, apps are going to get their unique URL. It's something that's all pre-configured for you. You get the GUIDs automatically inserted. You can't change it. And I know that probably a lot of you would love to be able to say, hey, I'd like to make it my own unique name. It's something that we've taken feedback back in, and we're going to consider going forward. But right now, you're stuck. You just have the GUID there within the actual title itself. So with that, Rob has been working on this wonderful little library that I think he'd like to show you.
I'd love to show it to him. So the tagline for, and I'll change the zoom here in a second, the tagline for TypeScript is application-scale JavaScript. So as we're trying to figure out how do we demo this and how do we show this off, I started thinking, you know, it would be great if we had a library to call into REST. And so in REST, we've got all these different calls we can make, right? We've got to get our context info, so we get our current digest. We've got all these pieces and parts. Well, wouldn't it be cool if I had a library, and in that library, I handled a lot of that abstraction for you? So that's what we created. And what we have is a set of files that are just a list of the different kinds of objects that you might have. And those all compile down into just one .js file. So what I'm doing is I'm basically in C Sharp, you develop each of your classes in a separate file, and then you compile those. Those become a DLL. But if we follow the model that Keenan was talking about, where you have TypeScript and then JavaScript becomes your intermediate language, well, I should be able to compile down in there. Now, one of the things that happens if you first start with this is you're going to have a project, and in that project, it's going to, by default, compile each TypeScript file into its own JS file. So it's going to take each TypeScript and make a JS from it. Well, in this case, for the library, I didn't want to do that. So what I want to show you is the same kind of an edit you'll make to the SharePoint project file from here from the bottom. So what we're going to do is if we look here at this target, whoops, don't want to collapse that, we'll see that I have a delete here, which I'm deleting my definition, my declarations. I'll show you in a second. And all I've done is I've taken the out-of-the-box one, let me get this out of the way, and I've changed it by adding a dash out. And this is saying I want everything in sprest.js, and then declarations says I want that sprest.d.js file, or ts file, so that I know in my other system I can provide that class richness that is in the REST library, in the sprest library to it. And then the dash c, by the way, says keep my comments in there. And I do that because I want to have my comments when I'm doing my JavaScript code, because that's ultimately what I'm going to debug. So this is all, that's the only change I had to make to turn this thing into something that would compile a library. I'm going to go ahead and reload the project here. All right, and back from the project, I've got a context, I've got all sorts of the site, web, list, the same thing that you see in the object models out of SharePoint, but these are all built around the idea that you will do, these are all built around the idea that you're going to use the REST interface rather than using either the client-side library or the server-side library. This pattern, ultimately, and let me show you what this looks like when I go to consume it in the app. So scripts, app.ts. So in this case, I'm consuming this library that I built. And what you may or may not notice is the whole thing that I built was based on promises. So if you don't know what a promise is, it's basically pub/sub for JavaScript, where I can say, when this thing finishes, give me this. I built around this because in some cases, I want to have cached data, right? I've already got a context. I'm reusing this all over. So we're able to take these techniques that we do in JavaScript, in good JavaScript, and put them into the TypeScript. So here, this is how we're consuming the library. If I go back to the library and take a look at, say, get context, so get context is how I start, and I say get sprest.context at get context. I try and get it, and once I have the context, then I can use it. If I look into this object, it's using a jQuery deferred object. So the dollar sign dot deferred. It makes its AJAX call to get the context info, and then it's going to call fail if it has a problem or done to try and create a way for users to be able to do that nice, clean JavaScript for callbacks. How many of you like having a million and one, well, maybe slightly less than a million and one, of these little methods that have three lines of code in them? Is that fun? Yes. Thank you. Great. Where did we get this audience?
It's Vegas.
It's Vegas. Okay. All right. All right. So I want to skip over, and I want to spend a little more time with our with the video commenter app and show you what we had to change to make this work. Now, I did have to do an edit to the project file. We're going to show you that in a second. I want to do that on slides so that you can just download the slide and look at it and go, or you can look at my blog post or whatever. But I want to show you how the app works when we're done. So I have two app pages. So I have the default app page itself, right? And that's what you're looking at here. If I hit F5, and it's so fast it didn't actually do all the status updates. Basically, it walks you through what it's doing. And so this says, hey, there's a hello.
The network's working.
It's local.
Oh.
Sorry. The other thing that I've got is I've got an edit control block action item, or a menu item. So this is a video commenting application. I wanted to take the library, the asset library, and then I wanted to be able to go add comments. So here's this is the promo video here. So if you can, and you're not going to get audio because this is a VM.
It's okay.
Do you want to speak to it?
No, it's fine. It took like 60 takes just to build that 30 seconds, so no.
So no? Dang
no,
it.
No, it's okay.
All right, so what you'll see here is I have add comments. And add comments is that same commenter application you saw, but now I've got the existing comments showing up beneath it. And I've got TypeScript code doing that. And then, ooh, wait, that looks vaguely cool. And so here in a second, after it's done pushing that up, it's waking everything back up internally. It says, oh, hey, look, looks vaguely cool. And I can do this on all of the videos here, and they will come back, and they record into a list. So now that I've shown you kind of what I'm doing, let me get you into the code and show you how I did it. All right, so let's go back to Visual Studio. All right, and I started with showing you directly this get comments. Let's start with looking at, it's a regular app project, and in the app project, I have my edit control block entry, right? So this should be a pretty typical thing that you've seen in SharePoint before, where I'm registering a custom action. In this case, I'm registering it against a content type, which happens to be the video content type that appears in the asset library. You'll see that it's making a call to my app web URL. Because it's an app, it has its own app web with the GUID and the wildcard and all that stuff going on. And then I have the standard tokens. I'll show you which ones those are. And then I go ahead and add the pieces I need, or actually a little more than what I need, to figure out where the video is. Because I'm going to use that in the code to pull that video back and add the right video tag. All right. So with that, I want to take a look at our default ASPX page. And the default ASPX page looks really, really similar to the default ASPX page that we saw a minute ago in the baseline application, except that we've got the same sort of things that you see. This is a SharePoint-hosted app, so this is a SharePoint-hosted default page that I've got. But I've gone ahead and I've added in my call to spRest.js. Because remember, whenever I reference it from a page, I'm referencing the JS file. All right, and then I have a default.js, and that's the TypeScript, now JavaScript, that runs to this default page. You'll also see here that we're doing a document.ready, and this is the stock out-of-the-box code. It's going to call SharePoint ready as soon as the client context comes back and is available. All right, so let's take a look at that. So I have to have a query string object So what I'm pulling back is I'm pulling back the standard tokens. I'm pulling back the host, the language, the client tag, the product number, the web app URL. These are all things that I get from SharePoint when it posts into my app web. And so I can do whatever I need to do with them. In this case, I'm just grabbing them into variables real quick. I go get my container for the comments that I'm going to do, and then I've also got a load status. Now, you guys didn't get to see their load status because I had refreshed right before to keep everything warm, and all of the steps happened so quickly that you didn't get to see the updates, but it is designed to do that. So again, I'm calling sprest.context. I get this. I know that that is what I'm getting, and so I get my IntelliSense for that because up at the top, I've told TypeScript to reference jQuery.d.ts, which happens to be in the same directory. Now, that is a definitions file created by the TypeScript team for jQuery, which is really good since how many of you develop without jQuery? There aren't any hands. What?
You do use jQuery, so yes, everybody uses jQuery.
Sorry.
Okay, just checking, we're
so
good.
Everybody uses jQuery, right? So it's really good that they built us the definitions for that, so that if I put dot deferred on something, or if I put a dollar sign dot, it's going to actually go and do my IntelliSense for me, and the IntelliSense is 100%, right? So if I go do dollar sign dot, I'm getting AJAX and CSS hooks and datas and all the kinds of things that you would expect out of a fully IntelliSense language. All right, so I've got that, and then I've got my sprest.d.ts. That's that file that I told TypeScript to create the library for me. So now I can use that, and when I go and I take my context and I do something with it, it knows that there is a dot start to it, and it knows I shouldn't capitalize start. And I got to tell you, even as I was building this, I was capitalizing things I shouldn't, and vice versa. So in this build out, and the way that this all pulls together, I've got my TypeScript, it's compiled to JavaScript. I've got all that type safetyness, that type safety goodness happening in the definitions file. And so if I go and I say, well, what if I were to do a pweb.start? Well, it says red squigglies. You don't have that. That doesn't exist. Now, if I select the start that's the lowercase, it goes, oh yeah, okay. So that's what I'm trying to get here, and that's the goodness of this. Because this is all built on top of jQuery deferred and promises, I can get my context. I can say, great, I've got my context. And I can keep walking down the list. I can get my context, get the web, get the lists, get the specific list I want. Now, here's an interesting thing. So the list that I want, I declared and created inside of my project file. There's actually an SP list instance. I've got it hidden now, but let's pull it back out. I have a list instance that is getting created. All right, there we go. So I have my list instance that's getting created with these columns in it. So that's a part of my project file. That has a specific URL. When you declare an instance inside of SharePoint, you get a URL. So I need to get that URL. To get that, I have to actually go get the root folder of all my lists because it doesn't come back with a root folder of each of the lists. So I've got all kinds of plumbing happening in the background, but from a UI perspective and from a TypeScript perspective, I know what I have to do and what I'm calling. Okay? All right. So let's take a look at our comments.aspx real quick. And so same thing that we've been talking about, the same code. It's going to look really, really similar. And we'll see our video, and we've got a placeholder for the comments. And then I've got status. So if I want to go look at the way that this comments happen, it's an app.ts, and there is our get comments, right? So that's how this all fits together. So I have the containers, I get the containers, I plug this content into the containers, and all I'm doing here at the end is injecting some HTML or there. Some div tags in with the values. Because I'm not a designer, I'm a developer. Anybody out there with me? Yeah, right. So I don't write CSS. I just dream about it or something.
Or nightmares.
Yeah, nightmares. It's still dreaming, right? It's just bad.
It's weaving dreams.
It's weaving
dream
dreams.
Dreamweaver.
Bad. Okay. All right, so we've got all that. We've got our context. We've got our status updates, and then so we've got our class exporter. So when I call this, when I create this, I've got my Where's my start? There it is. SharePoint ready start. So all I'm doing, same pattern, right? You're seeing this kind of over and over again at this point. Hopefully it's not redundant yet. Where I'm getting my elements, I'm getting them by ID, I'm getting all of my variables that I need in, I'm getting my list name. I'm doing a little bit of, I'm doing just a slight bit of craziness here, and that is because I'm in an app web, and so the URL the user has provided to me is not exactly the URL I want. What I'm doing is I'm swapping out my host name, that whole GUID SP dash wildcard thing, and I'm swapping that out when I go to make my call so that I'm calling into the same domain. I don't want to, when I'm making these calls here, I don't want to have to get a cross domain warning, right? Hey, look, it actually took 2 seconds to do the statuses. And so that's what I'm doing is I'm swapping those out. All right. The other thing I want to show you real quick is because this is an HTML5 deal, I'm going to go back to our comments here. Come here. Comments. When this page starts out, it does not start out with anything in the video tag. Right? If I look at the source of this, there's nothing in the video tag. But I'm actually adding 3 videos in there. So even though you can see that there is the video and it does play, that's all getting dynamically added. All right. So why don't we show them how to put TypeScript in their existing project? Can I do that?
Okay.
I can do it.
Let's, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do this. All right. So I did this on a slide because it's really simple, and I wanted you to have it in the slides. So once you have the slide, you saw me unload the project, right? Once you unload the project, you edit the project file. When you edit the project file for SharePoint, you must put in the project's tag at the top, initial targets, JavaScript compile. You have to do this because you need to make sure that Visual Studio compiles the JavaScript first, the TypeScript first into JavaScript, so that it packages the right version of the JavaScript into your package. And then at the very end, you add this block. This block is the same kind of block that you add for all projects that you want to add TypeScript to. It's nothing SharePoint specific. When you're done, you right-click in the Solution Explorer, hit Reload Project, and then in the end, it says, hey, did you really mean to do this because you've still got the file open? And you go, yeah, of course, close the file for me automagically. All right, let's develop some apps for Office.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, so all this great stuff we talked about with SharePoint actually applies to the app model for Office as well. And the things that you've actually seen here, things really aren't kind of any different at all for actually doing it with Office. So what you can do is, you can create your own app for Office. And because the app for Office, obviously the HTML and JavaScript is not actually being part of the SharePoint hosted app, it's not actually running within Office, the technique that Rob just talked about having to inject, you actually wouldn't have to do if you go ahead and install the TypeScript plugin for Visual Studio, because it's actually just a web project that is supporting your app for Office, so that web project automatically has the capabilities to use TypeScript once you have that added. So with that, let's talk about what kind of really makes up that app for Office. And what it comes down to, it's in the app for Office, as you probably have already heard, it's just a manifest, and it's an XML declaration that tells me where is my site located at. How do I get to my specific site? And that site itself is what actually is the driver for your app itself. Currently, we don't have a TypeScript reference for the Office object model yet for JavaScript, but we will be creating one down the road for TypeScript, so you can go ahead and leverage that and get that full IntelliSense capabilities within TypeScript. So the reason why it's kind of important to talk about is because overall, complete picture, this whole new app model, it's really shared between both Office and SharePoint as a whole. And we made sure we did this intentionally because we want to be able to kind of
kind of lower the barrier for entry for building solutions. In the past, it's always been you do SharePoint one way, you do Office completely a different way. Now, today, you shouldn't have to really do them. They come closer. You shouldn't have to do them completely in two different ways. You use the same type of languages and technologies that you love. You use the IDEs that you love, and it's consistent in how you actually build solutions between Office and SharePoint. And with that, I believe I'm going to hand over to Mr. Bogue, who's going to now show a demo of how he can use this app. The same code and the same things that he's done and used, he's just going to plug that right into Excel.
Great. Thanks. All right. Well, I've gone ahead and done this, but let me just quickly close this sheet and add a new sheet here. All right. What I have is over here on the right-hand side, I've got a task pane, and in that task pane, I have given it the URL of my comments list. Now I've hard-coded this one in, or pre-filled it, just so that I know that I don't fat-finger it in front of you. But what I'm telling it to do is, hey, there's a comments list over in this Leading Lamps dev site, and I want you to go fetch the contents, and then I want you to put it inside of Excel as a table. So if I hit set data, you may have actually seen it do the status really quickly, or you may not have. And it has added an actual Excel table with this data in it. Now, one of the things you'd go is, hey, I can hit export to Excel. Yes, you can out of a regular web app, but this is in an app web. This is application, quote unquote, private data. But I'm giving you a way to expose it. So the same code that we've been using, that same library, we're now leveraging in Office to get this kind of a result. All right, so I've got my list here. Let's go take a look at what's happening inside of Visual Studio. And this time we're down in an extract, and right down here. So there are two projects I get when I tell it I want to build an Office application. And the first one is the manifest file that packages it all up for me. The second one is the actual web that's running. Right, so that app, that Office app, is really just running an HTML page that has some JavaScript on it that can interact with Office because it's running inside of the Office context. So let me just take a look at our pages here. And in this case, I've just got a video comment extract.html. I'm going to close all but this just to clean up my title bar here. And you know, by now, we're pretty used to seeing a lot of this stuff. Now, there's a couple of extra things here. This is on jQuery 1.62. We're loading Ajax. We're loading Office, right? So that Office.js is what's going to allow me here in a second to call into my host application, in this case Excel, and push that data up into Excel. Then I've got my sprest.js, right? That's the library we've been working with. And then I've got my page-level JavaScript video comment extract. And then we've got, you know, standard HTML for labels and so forth. All right. So now let's take a look at that script that drives this all happening. So video comment. Now, again, this is TypeScript, right? So I've done the TypeScript modification. And as I start, I get on my document ready, we associate the click handler, and then in the click handler, I am going in and I'm getting my object. You'll notice here that I've typed it. I said, hey, this is an HTML element. That's because when I started typing my TypeScript, I wanted it to correct me with my capitalization of what works and what doesn't work. So I do all my casts. I come down and then I start getting context. And I get my web and I get my list and blah, 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 right? And I go all the way down here. And I get down to, I have data back. So I've made a query here, get items by query, you'll see there. I've made my query, I have data back, because I'm in the done on that. And what am I doing? I'm coercing the data into a table. Now I say I'm coercing the data into a table. What I'm doing is, there's a specific pattern that Office expects to see when something is a table. And it expects to see a collection, a JavaScript collection, with two members, one called headers, one called rows. Inside headers, it's supposed to be arrays, and inside rows, it's supposed to be arrays. So I just take my data that I got back, and I completely parse that. Then I hand that off And all I really have to do is I hand that off to Office, and I go, okay, Office, wherever the user is in context inside of your document, because I don't know where they are, I want you to take this piece of data, and it's yours. Add it in. Okay? And so that's what we're doing. So we do that add, and that's what makes it all happen. That's what causes this to pull the data out and put it into Excel. So that's how easy it is to take the TypeScript, right? I take the TypeScript, when I hit F5, it's compiled it into JavaScript. The JavaScript is referenced from my HTML page in Office. And because I've got access to the libraries in Office, I can just call and hand off the data, and now it's Office's problem to figure out how to get my data, to get my information into the, in this case, the Excel spreadsheet. So, pretty cool? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen head nods.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yep. Yeah, there come on.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
As I said, I was very, very super excited to hear about TypeScript, and I called Rob up after I ran around to the different buildings on campus. I was like, hey, can you help me do this session? Because it was very short notice. I didn't even know if we could pull this together and really know if this was even going to be fully possible and actually make sense and make sure that everybody was, you know, fully backed me in doing this, because I thought this was very exciting and I wanted to make sure I could share that information with all of you here today. With that, we're going to be wrapping up this session. Hopefully, if you guys got any questions, please ask away at the mics. On behalf of myself and Rob, I'd like to thank everybody for attending and have a great rest of your SBC. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on, I want questions. Like, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck? Why is the sky blue? Because it's not red. You got to go to Mike. I'm sorry. They'll be angry with me. Yes,
yes.
Sir.
Yes. Is it possible to create a minimal of the JavaScript?
Minimal JavaScript?
Yeah.
So once you create your JavaScript file, you could add something to your project that would actually, like, there's I know there's libraries out there that'll take it and minimize
your but it's not
for you.
It's not featured in this solution. I could imagine that you have a debug and a release, and the debug makes it the non-minimal, and the release makes a minimal, or?
Right, what you would have to do is you'd have to let the type, when we plugged in that TypeScript compiler,
yeah.
This would have to come right after that step.
Okay.
So then whatever your minimizer thing is.
Then you create the normal and the minimize. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Next.
How about over here?
Okay, sorry.
Is there any plan to make inline commenting for IntelliSense for any of the JavaScript SharePoint libraries?
Is there any plans to make inline commenting for the JavaScript libraries?
In TypeScript.
It will probably come in time. I don't know the exact plans that the Visual Studio Tooling has, but, I mean, it'll probably come. I'm pretty confident in that.
And they're not hard to create on your own, right? So I did a couple of things just real quick to see how easy it is, and it's pretty straightforward. It's really defining the interfaces that come across. So even if you didn't have one, it wouldn't take much time to build a couple for the core classes.
Thank you.
So is there a building one for ASP.NET AJAX or not?
Is there one for Ajax?
Ajax. Not yet.
Okay.
The jQuery was the first one that's been put out. Again, there'll be more coming out. We expect the community to, you know, take care of the community things. Like, so we expect one for, you know, we would hope to see one for like Knockout.js and those others as well. But again, it's just a matter of time. TypeScript has just been out for about a little over a month, so give it time. I'm sure you'll start seeing it.
Very cool.
I think my question was similar with incorporating the reactive extensions for JavaScript. Can you do that in TypeScript?
So are you talking about responsive design?
The reactive extensions for JavaScript that Microsoft provides. There's the reactive extensions for .NET, and then there's the reactive extensions for JavaScript, which makes all of the eventing and the parallelism that can go on inside of the DOM and dynamic HTML. Reactive extensions, you might look at it's RX for short.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
It's great.
But but what I'll do is I'm going to follow up, and I'm going to either put it on my blog or put it on the Office or SharePoint Developer blog.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is more of a JavaScript office question.
Yep.
You put the data via JavaScript into the Excel document.
Yep.
Would you be able to manipulate the DOM from Excel, like set the width of the columns?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can change the way that the data is in the host application. But I didn't want to show you that because it's getting the data in there is actually one line.
Yeah.
You know, going and parsing through the table and getting to the columns and making them wider takes more time.
Okay.
But it's absolutely possible.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about using TypeScript for ASP.NET applications and pro and cons? Do you suggest to use
it? You can use it in any type of web project there is. MVC3, MVC4, web projects. You want to use it with Razor, you can do it with anything you want.
Okay. Yep.
You showed us this nice IntelliSense web editor. Will that become available?
What did you say?
This IntelliSense web editor that is on typescriptblank.org.
Yep.
Will that become available as open source project as well?
Well, so you're talking about the editor? That,
yep.
So have you seen NAPA?
Yep.
Yep. Really? I don't know for sure because I didn't ask. I have a feeling they're using the same kind of backends a little bit.
Yeah, but it's at the moment it's not integrated.
Yep. So, but I think it'll probably happen.
All right.
So there is a project, and I literally somebody said something to me about it in the speaker room before I came down here, where you can see it live in Visual Studio what it's going to generate. But I haven't had time to go dig into it and look at how that's going to work. But so it's there, which there's a plugin that'll do it now.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's
okay.
Part of the web essential.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
So for callouts and et cetera, so are we planning to have these kind of libraries for callouts or any other new SharePoint features? You know?
We're having this library for what?
The callouts or the new SharePoint features, you know, whatever we have.
The callouts and new SharePoint features will be able to support TypeScript. So basically, will the SharePoint library have a TypeScript like IntelliSense?
Yeah.
It will happen. It's just not out yet, but it will happen.
Okay. And can I use this, you know, for previous Visual Studios? Let's say, you know, I want to have my current scripts converted to TypeScript and then, you know.
Technically, yes, but you're not going to get the IntelliSense with it. So that compiler is just an executable if you saw what we put in there.
Okay.
So as long as you can, you know, don't use Visual Studio 2003 before they started using the XML definitions. But as long as you can put in there, like, say, hey, call this executable, and while it's doing the build itself, you can completely do that for sure.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering, debugging support. Do you have to debug in the JavaScript that is being generated, or can you? Because to me, that is a big disadvantage.
So the debugging support right now is JavaScript. So even though you're typing in TypeScript itself, in some cases you'll actually see it'll. Are you going to show that or?
Yeah, I was going to do is I was just going to say when the modification I showed you earlier in the session about the dash C that I added into the TypeScript compiler. The reason I did that is so that it would generate the comments out into the resulting JavaScript. Because they're so similar, really, it's a lot of the declarations that show up differently. Because they're so similar, the debugging experience isn't bad. I can tell you my biggest problem with the debugging experience right now is I forget that I'm looking at the JavaScript and I start to make a fix in the JavaScript. That's my biggest barrier right now to the experience.
But there is it's something that they're thinking about. I mean, obviously, it'd be a lot better if the TypeScript, if it could actually reverse and try to bring out the TypeScript out of it again. Obviously, if we were able to convert it into JavaScript, we should be able to get it back into TypeScript.
Or at least synchronized, yeah.
At least synchronized. So that will eventually come, but again, it's just so very new it's just not there yet, but it will be.
Yeah, TypeScript is not an officially, it's not a 1.0 yet.
Right, this is very much a preview. Like, this is an experiment, what do you guys think, should it or not? So, if you want it to continue, like your feedback, you know, put it on forums, because, you know, like on the forums, on Microsoft Developer Forums, give your feedback saying, yeah, this is the right thing to do, or, you know, if you don't like it, you know, say why you don't like it, and we're definitely listening for sure.
Thank you.
In a lot of your demos, you were doing a lot of double equals for your comparisons. Does TypeScript automatically convert double equals in your TypeScript to triple equals in JavaScript, or does it do any of that conversion for you?
Yeah, it actually, it does do that conversion for you. So you won't, you shouldn't have to deal with all the little intricacies that are involved there.
Okay, and then does that apply to nulls as well, or has Rob just been very, I guess, proactive about assigning null values where he's expecting instead of testing for undefineds?
It will check, it will, I am proactive in it, and that's habit.
Okay.
But I'm, there were cases I know during debugging where I had objects I hadn't defined, and it did find them.
Okay.
So it's supposed to handle all that. There's a lot of other nice things about TypeScript. This, like, what is this in this context?
Yeah.
It does a reasonably good job of that. They've got a couple of defects around some of the AJAX callbacks, which is why I did the wrapping myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to handle all of that transparently for you as well.
Okay. Well, so if it's doing that and you're using jQuery, for example, and jQuery mangles this all the time, does TypeScript do anything to try to keep this context proper?
That would be the bug they have, is AJAX. Okay. They didn't. So what I had was I was using the AJAX functions, and I was trying to use this inside of it, and
right.
It didn't work. But there are cases where I use this outside of that context, and it worked just fine. So again, I did my own closure for that.
Okay. Thank you.
So, you're welcome.
Since you're already generating the JavaScript, is there any way possibility to have a minified version of the JavaScript automatically?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you could do is, right after you compile the JavaScript itself, and that how we showed you in the project file, you can add, if you can find a reference, like send up a third-party library or something that actually does the minimizing for you, and you just reference it after you've converted the TypeScript to JavaScript. Again, you do that all within the proj file itself, so you can totally do that, for sure.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Oh, go ahead. He had a question.
Go ahead.
Well, you got to go to a mic, though, because we'll get in trouble if you don't. So you're already at a mic. Go first.
All right. You may not be the guys to ask, but in TypeScript specifically, I know right now it doesn't support generics. It doesn't support like a VM or conversion to IL. Is it going to support more of these modern language features so that we can at one point possibly use it inside of a desktop application for like a scripted host type?
So,
honest answer, I don't know.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because this is something that we're going to take feedback from the community, and those are things that we see that are important to the community, then we'll make that happen. If it's things that, it really kind of all depends on what the community is really looking for and what they want, because again, we're very much, if you take a look at the actual site itself, when you go there, I mean, there's the whole community forums thing, so we're paying attention to that. So based on that is the direction we'll go. Again, this is like an alpha / beta release, preview release. So there will be more stuff going into it. But right now, I don't have any specifics for you.
So, but just from a fundamentals perspective, right, the intent is to solve the problem around large-scale JavaScript development because JavaScript is transportable. Now, where you see other investments in how JavaScript is used, for instance, and to build apps in Windows 8, all of the stuff that you do in TypeScript can be leveraged by all of the pieces that happen on those other layers. The idea is to get it to get TypeScript into JavaScript because that is the common platform, right? That is the IL. And then you take all of the JavaScript compilers that are being built into web browsers and operating systems and all that, and then it's their responsibility to get it into an IL or a machine language. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and as a kind of a follow-up to that, with the language moving forward, Google, I think a year, maybe two years ago, released Dart.
Yep.
Now, I've actually used Dart for quite a bit, and I'm wondering, is Microsoft planning on keeping kind of a current, like a feature set comparative to Dart? Because with Hex and Dart, they kind of run the largest community of typed JavaScript.
So first of all, neither of us are probably the best people to answer this.
Okay.
Second of all, I'm giving you a non-Microsoft answer, okay? So I don't work for Microsoft, so I'm not giving you a Microsoft answer. Because I don't want you to think that they're... So here's the thing. When I did my research about Dart and...
Hex
and the thing of it that's TypeScript that's different is it's a superscript of JavaScript, right? It's less different, and it compiles down into JavaScript. So that's their thinking is a better way to do it, at least from the information I've seen publicly available. So I think that, yes, there are people that are already, when we ask, raise your hand if you're having a hard time with JavaScript development, everybody raised their hand. I didn't ask how much longer does it take you to develop in JavaScript than anything else, right? Lots of people have known the problems out there. I can tell you, I'm really excited about TypeScript because it's so, again, my biggest debug problem is I can't see that TypeScript and JavaScript are different. Like, they're so close. It becomes easy for me. So that, I know that's not a real answer, but the Channel 9 forums, you can go and ask, and I've seen them be very active there.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any known plans to reverse it back into Visual Studio 2010? And the second part of that is, have either of you played with Script Sharp, done JavaScript development using Script Sharp, and also then with TypeScript, and how would it compare?
Script Sharp. So two pieces. One's Visual Studio. You want that one?
So I just want to make sure I understand the Visual Studio question. The Visual Studio was, can I use this in 2010? Okay. Yes, totally. So again, if you took a look at the compiler, if you saw on that slide, the compiler is called TSC and says, give me the TypeScript file and I will spit out JavaScript for you. That's all it does. And that compiler is the one that actually does all the magic underneath the hood. So technically, I think I could use this in Visual Studio 2008 as well if I really wanted to. So yeah, totally supported in 20, totally would work in 2010, the exact same way we implemented here. You might not get some of the the web projects that come with the Visual Studio add-in automatically deal with that building for you and some of that IntelliSense. You might not get that. That's what you're going to lose. But you can at least still compile it and still structure it. Those are still all viable, and you can still do that.
So your other question was about Script Sharp. So personally, no, I've not used it. However, one of the other presenters, and I've been talking, Matt Bremer and Nihil, are going to do a session on web forms and InfoPath or whatever it is. Anyway, they're going to use the TypeScript stuff because they felt like it was a better answer. So they'd been in Script Sharp, they'd been building demos, and literally I was talking to them about some other stuff, and I said, hey, check this SPRest thing that I'm playing with. And like, that's awesome. That's so easy to use, and I don't have to fight with it. So no answer there other than there are definitely folks that are looking at TypeScript having come from Script Sharp saying, yeah, this is good. It's good stuff. So.
For the demo that you did with Office, does it require Office 2013, or will it work in 2010?
Only 2013. The apps for Office is only supported in 2013.
Okay.
Any other questions, guys? Cool. Well, thank you very much.
One more.
How do you handle if you add another library, like say some jQuery plugin, how do you add that to your code such that you get the highlighting?
The IntelliSense?
So the references I had at the top of the file. First of all, you have to create a definitions file, right? And it's in TypeScript, and it just gives it all the types and that so forth. Then to refer to it, you put a reference at the top of your file. And what the TypeScript compiler will do is it'll read it in to be able to pick up your IntelliSense for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And since those files aren't typed, I guess you don't do any parameter type checking?
Well, no, so the TS files are typed. Those .d files, so let me do this. Let me show you the rest, the sprest.d.ts. So the reference files are still TS. Now, if you say you just pick up random library off the web, right? Bob's JavaScript library for really cool stuff. If you do that, what you're going to get is it's going to just treat it like it's a regular object. And I have, I actually had an odd OData thing remaining in there where you declare it and you say, OData is okay. Anything where I start with OData dot is fine. And you won't get any of the IntelliSense, you won't get any of the compile time checking, you won't get any of that goodness, but it'll absolutely function. So, good?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody, thanks again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.